Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Hello, everybody. So good to see you. Can you put your hands together for all our guests today? If you're a guest, massive welcome. Come on, every location. Come on, everybody, put your hands together. If I ever met you, my name's Alex. My wife and I, Jess, and we're the lead pastors of our church, C3 SYD, one church, four locations. And today we are launching a new message series called Road to the Cross. Come on, you love the cross? Do you love Easter season? We love Easter around here, and we are so excited for what God is going to do over the next 5 weeks as we unpack Road to the Cross. We're going to look at Jesus, the humanity of Jesus, and what he experienced on his road to the cross. Now, listen, we've always had a thing called Go Week, and we love Go Week. It's part of all our connect groups, but we really want to be a church that's on mission, amen? I want to remind you, you are not a customer of the church. You are not a spiritual consumer. You are the body of Christ. You are called out ones. You have a calling on your life. And as a church, we are on mission. Can I get a good amen? There it is. So we've been talking and we've been thinking, you know what? Let's not just have 1 week that's Go Week. Every message series, we want to be really intentional as a church about being on mission. So we're going to introduce every message series, and especially for Easter, everybody, three little go goals. Three little go goals that we're going to do as a connect group. Goal one is an act of kindness or generosity to someone who's far from God. Someone, maybe it's a neighbor, a school parent, friend, a work colleague. Just what's one act of kindness we can do in the next 5 weeks? Maybe it's individually or maybe it's as a connect group. But one act of kindness. And then number two, we're going to pray. Come on, prayer is all the difference. So we're going to pray. Maybe we can pray individually for individuals. We could all as a group pray for one person. We could offer to pray for that person. You could reach out to them if someone's going through a challenge, they're unwell, they're facing a difficulty. Let's offer to pray for that person. And number three is invite. Who? Come on, lean in. Who can we invite this Easter? On the 3rd of April, we have Good Friday in the West, in the North, Central West, Northern Beaches, with our Good Friday service. Who can we invite to Good Friday? Then we have Easter Sunday, all locations. Going to be an absolute incredible day as we celebrate Jesus, the victory of the cross, the victory of the resurrection. And so, who can you bring? Who can we invite? So we're going to be intentional. We're going to do an act of kindness as a connect group. We're going to work on this together. We're going to pray for these people that we're reaching out to. And then we're going to invite them to Easter. And we're just believing that God is going to do amazing things. Because as you know, it's a year of reclaim. We just launched the vision, the prophetic word for the year. It's a year of reclaim. Whatever has been lost, stolen, dormant, or uncultivated, we believe is going to be reclaimed this year. Lost people are going to be reconciled this Easter. Prodigals are going to come back to God this Easter in Jesus' name. Can I get a good amen today? Amen. So here's the thing, everybody. You good, everybody? You good? Here's the thing. Come on, Northern Beaches. Here's the thing. It's really important at Easter that we understand the humanity of Jesus, that he didn't float through life as an apparition or a separated spirit. He felt humanity. He was human. He felt the pain. He felt worry. He felt hungry. Come on, somebody. He cried. He laughed. He felt the pain of the crucifixion. He actually felt it. He felt the pain of rejection, the pain of betrayal, the pain of loneliness. And he came to give humanity the answer to all these things through his death and resurrection. He came 100% human, remember this, and 100% divine. 100% human and 100% divine. Now, you know his name, Jesus Christ? That's his name. Jesus is like just his human name. And the name Jesus means God saves. But then his name Christ, which was not his last name, but it was his title. Jesus was his name, but Christ was his title. And title means, sorry, this title, Christ, means anointed one. It means Messiah. Jesus, his human name. Christ, his title as Messiah. 100% human, 100% divine. And this is really important. Never get used to this, church. Come on, never get used to this. That is completely wild. It is an absolute miracle. But here's something I want you to know. There's a thing that crept into the church historically called deceitism. Deceitism, and it comes from the Greek word dokeion, which means to seem. And deceitism is the belief that Jesus only appeared to have a physical body. And really what this did, it viewed matter, human form, as evil, and spirit as good. So it tried to separate the two, that my human body is evil, but my spirit is good. But here's the thing. God created you with a body, a soul, and a spirit. He created you as an integrated being. He created it all, and he said it was good. So when Jesus came, he didn't come as like a separated spirit. He wasn't some separated spirit just floating through life kind of like this, like me right now. Look at that. No, he wasn't like this. He was a body. He was a full human. He had flesh. He had skin. And so deceitism is really dangerous and a terrible heresy because it kind of says that there's something wrong with our body. No, your body is good. When Jesus came in human form, it actually validated that humanity's form is good. And just because he was fully human, it did not mean that he was not fully divine. And deceitism has trouble with the incarnation. It has trouble with coming to terms with the fact that God could be fully human and fully God. But the incarnation is the central miracle. Yes, there is the resurrection, but the central miracle of the Christian faith that no other faith has is that God became human and came and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh. And this is so important that you get this. 2 Corinthians 5:21, that he who knew no sin became sin so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So as we land this plane, as we kick this message series off, we're going to go to the book of Hebrews. Come to the book of Hebrews. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 4. What I want you to know about the book of Hebrews, and here, remember, we have a YouVersion devotional. That every message series, you go to YouVersion, type in the message series right now, Road to the Cross, and you're going to find a devotional that goes along our message series. Also, shout out TYB Companion. I would highly recommend grab one of these. If you want to go deeper in the Word of God, it introduces you to every book before you read it so you understand the context, you understand what's happening. So grab one of these. They're amazing. But if you want more, go for it. We have night class. If you want more, go for it. Come and do night class. Go to the Next Step Lounge to find out more. Amen. So go to Hebrews. Hebrews 4. And what we got to understand is that what was happening when the writer's writing, they are addressing the issue that the people of God were being influenced by Judaism, and there was a shift happening, and people were being caught up in bringing down Christ, bringing down Jesus from being the Son of God. And what the writer of Hebrew is trying to make very clear is that Jesus is superior. Jesus is superior. The headings for the book of Hebrews are like this: the Son, superior to the angels. Jesus, greater than Moses. Jesus, the great high priest. Christ's sacrifice, one and for all. And it's almost kind of like the writer is saying, hey, anything you think Moses did or this guy did or that prophet did, Jesus can do better. Jesus is superior. Jesus is above. And when we come to Hebrews 4, the law of Moses had recognized and made provision for a high priest who could mediate between God and man. And the writer here is saying that Jesus is our great high priest. He is our mediator. We no longer have a human priest. We no longer go to the priest on the ground. We go to Jesus himself as our superior high priest. So, come to Hebrews 4. Grab your Bible. You got your Bible? Come on, wave at me if you got your Bible. Come on, show the room you got your Bible. We love the Word of God around here. Come on, let's lean into this scripture together. Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. Have a look. We got the pen. Let's dive into this. Therefore, since we have a great, you know, your Bible, you can circle that word great, high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended in heaven, Jesus, Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. He can empathize with you, yet he did not sin. Verse 16, let us then approach God's throne of grace with, I want everyone to say this word, everyone say confidence. Come on, say louder, say confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So, come with me, everybody. Therefore, since we have a great high priest, the thing that I wanted you to circle and see first is it says great high priest. And I just want to emphasize for you today that the word great there is emphasizing the fact that Jesus is not like any other high priest. He is superior to the Aaronic order, which is Aaron, the high priest. He is superior, and that his greatness extends not only to his character, but what he did on the cross. Come on, everybody. What Jesus did on the cross is superior to any other sacrifice. There's no sacrifice like what Jesus did on the cross. He is our great high priest. He is superior. And it says he ascended into heaven. And what's amazing about this is that Jesus did not go like priests did through veils. He was not limited or obstructed. Jesus ascended into heaven. He went straight into the very presence of God. It means that our high priest, Jesus, penetrates right through to the presence of God. Nothing blocks him. This kind of wording suggests that there is no hindrance for Jesus to the presence of God. Do you know what that means? That means in Christ, there's no hindrance to the presence of God. Listen to me. Every time you come and you worship God on a Sunday, when you wake up in the morning and you read the Word of God and you pray and you talk to Jesus, you must remember that in Christ, there is no hindrance to the presence of God. In your flesh, yeah, hindered. But in Christ, no hindrance. So the fight is to stay in Christ. How do you stay in Christ? Every day you repent. You say, Lord, I'm sorry for my flesh. I turn from that and I turn to you. You hold firm, it says, hold firm to the faith we profess, that in Christ we have direct access to the presence of God, no hindrance, no blockages. You can come straight to the presence of God. We're going to talk about that more in a second. So he's a great high priest. I want you to understand, he's a great high priest. He ascended into the heavens. There's no obstruction. There's no hindrance to the presence of God in Christ. And number three, Jesus, the Son of God, which again is just to say, Jesus, his human name, Son of God, his divine name, his divine title, the Son of God. And we must hold firm to this truth, because when we read on, we understand what this means for us. What does all this mean? That Jesus is our great high priest, that he is 100% human and he was 100% divine. What does it mean for us? It means that he empathizes with our weakness, but did not sin. He empathizes with our weakness, but did not sin. Read verse 15 again, everybody. Read it quickly with me. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we do have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, no different, yet he did not sin. So he has empathy because he's walked in our shoes. You know, like sympathy and empathy. You know, like sympathy, like you stub your toe, and someone who's never stubbed their toe has no idea how much that hurts. And so they're like, oh, yeah, sorry about that. You know, you'll be right. Empathy is when you see someone who stubbed their toe. You ever stubbed your toe? Oh, it's terrible. You see someone who stubbed their toe. And because you have stubbed your toe, you know the excruciating, life-destroying pain of stubbing your toe. And so you can empathize with that person because you've been there. This is what this means, everybody. We don't have a God that can't empathize with what we face. We don't have a God that can't empathize with what we struggle with. We have a God who was tempted in every single way, everybody. That is mind-blowing. That is completely mind-blowing. This is incredible. It means that Jesus is not out of touch with where you're at. He's calling you to follow him, and he knows what it's like to follow God. He knows what it's like to be obedient when you don't want to. He knows what it's like to say yes to the call of God when it's going to cost you your life. He can relate. And if you've ever thought, oh, God doesn't get me, God doesn't understand me, God doesn't know my struggles, my modern day struggles, there are no new struggles under the sun. Every temptation known to mankind, Jesus has walked through. And he grew up and he went through all these things. He knows injustice. He knows the sin nature of our flesh. And yet, he did not sin. He did not sin. So you know what is amazing about Jesus? Everybody lean in. You know what's amazing? He can empathize with the temptation you are currently facing. Whether it's lust, whether it's pride, whether it's some form of idolatry, trusting in something other than God for your security. Whatever temptation you are currently facing, God knows. He can empathize. We have a great high priest who can empathize. He knows what it is to struggle, and yet he did not sin. So this means not only can he relate to you, he can lead you through it because he faced it and he overcame it. And this is what is amazing about the Lord. He can empathize with you and lead you. He can comfort you and correct you. He's a good shepherd. His rod and his staff helps us move forward. And this is who our great high priest is. So what do you do with this? We've got a great high priest. He's 100% human, 100% divine. He's ascended into heaven, gives us direct access to the presence of God. He can empathize with my weakness and he can lead me through it. What do you do with this? Here it is, everybody. This is what you do. You do what the verse says in verse 16. This is what you do. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. What do you do with Easter? What do you do with this truth and this grace? You approach God with confidence. Come on, everyone, say confidence. This year, I'm believing that you're going to reclaim your confidence. This is a year. Listen to me. There's some people under the sound of my voice, and you have lost all confidence. You've lost confidence in God. You've lost confidence in yourself. You've become timid. You've lost your voice. Your calling, your gifting has been stolen. It's been shut down. This is the year that you're going to reclaim every call of God on your life, every gifting on your life, every bit of confidence to approach the throne of grace. You don't need to stay far off from God. You are called to draw near to God. Why? Because He is our great high priest who died for you, who rose from the dead, so that you can approach the throne of grace with confidence. Come on, this is the year you're going to get your confidence back in Jesus' mighty name. And is our confidence, what is it in? Is our confidence in our own self? Is it in our good works? Is it in our ability? No. Our confidence is in Jesus. So this means if you stuff up, you make a mess of something, you miss the mark, what do? You approach the throne of grace with confidence, not in your ability, but in what Jesus has done. That the blood, if 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sin to him, he is just and faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What do? You come to God boldly, like my son comes to me boldly. This guy has never apologized for coming boldly and asking me for something. And we'll just walk in no matter what moment. I mean, I haven't had a moment to myself for years. It doesn't matter where I am. It can be in the bathroom. It's a public place in my house. You can't hide. He'll just come boldly. Come on, everybody. Come boldly to God. We do that with our parents. Why wouldn't we do that with God, who is perfect and good and who loves you and is calling you? Come boldly to the throne of grace. Come confidently. Why? Because of the cross. That's why. Because of what Easter means. Because of what this cross means. Keep your eyes fixed on what Jesus has done. I mean, I'm going to run away for a second. Look at it. Look at the cross. It's amazing. Don't forget the power of the cross. And it's through the cross that we can come boldly to the throne of grace without hesitation. Without hesitation. We're the kind of church that worship without hesitation. As I land, worship team, you can join me in all of our locations. We're the kind of church that pray without hesitation. We are the kind of church that are generous without hesitation. We're the kind of church that live boldly because of what Jesus has done. We are unashamed of the gospel. We don't give a rip what people think. We don't give a rip how we look. Watch me. I'm going to get even more undignified than this because I have the power of God in my life because of the cross in Jesus' name. Everybody, we're going to hand over to the team right now. We love you so much. The road to the cross, do not miss a week as we come in and we're praying that your revelation of Jesus would go deeper and deeper. If you're new to Christ, that your revelation of who he is would come alive, and we're going to see a great harvest on Good Friday and Easter Sunday. So don't miss a moment. Love you heaps. Over to you, team. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.